Man, his pulpit's a little higher. I wonder why that is. Amen? Throw me off a little. Matthew 18, and we'll look at verses 21 and 22. Amen. If you're able to stand with me out of respect for the word of God, I'd appreciate that. Okay. Matthew 18, beginning verse 21 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." I really think that one of the difficult issues we have in churches today, and I know we've seen this in Honduras, is the problem of forgiveness. And the Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness and how crucial it is in the Christian life, not only our relation to our brothers and sisters, but our relation to God himself. And so the Lord laid this message on my heart, things that we've dealt with over the time through the years, and hopefully, I think it's something that we all go through at some point in our Christian life, so hopefully it'll be a help to us tonight. So the title of the message is The Necessity of Forgiveness in the Life of a Christian. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given to each one of us to be in the house of God this evening. And Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given our family to be here, especially on this special day, a day when we remember the resurrection of our Savior. Thank you, Father, for this church, for their investment in our family, sacrificially praying for us and giving over the years that allows our family to be in Honduras, doing what you've called us to do. So, Father, we just pray at this time that you take this passage of Scripture, that you speak to our hearts, that you'd help us, Lord, to understand the importance of this and to put not only be hearers of the Word of God tonight, but to be willing to make right any situations in our lives, Lord God, that are hindering us from really coming into the fullness of thy presence and having that relationship with our brethren that we need to have. So, Father, we just ask for your blessing. We pray that Jesus would be honored and glorified in all that's said. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the most important lessons that every Christian needs to learn is that forgiving others is not optional in the Christian life. And one of the main reasons why it can be so difficult for Christians to forgive others is because no one enjoys being offended or hurt by someone else. I want everyone this evening to consider the following question before we go further. What is the first thing your sinful flesh wants to do after someone offends you in some way? This is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer out loud, but just think about that. If you're honest before God this evening, I think you would have to admit that the first thing your flesh wants to do after you are offended is plot some sort of revenge against the person who hurt or offended you. You see, revenge is the natural response of our sinful flesh when we are hurt or offended by someone else. No one ever had to teach us how to carry out revenge on someone else, amen? We just instinctively do it in the flesh. Now, some of the ways that a person carries out revenge against someone else are by saying hurtful things against the person who offended them by way of gossip, lies, or slander. Or they will plan to do something that they know will get the person who offended them mad. They'll carry out some sort of action. Or they'll take the self-righteous route and just avoid and refuse to talk to the person who offended them in some way. So out of sight, out of mind, amen, that kind of approach. Now listen, it's natural for the people who don't know the Lord to act in those ways because realistically they don't know any better. But for the people who profess to be saved, we are commanded by God to not act the way the world acts. God tells us in Jeremiah 10:2 to learn not the way of the heathen. Then in Romans 12:2, God tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, its maxims, its ways. Because if you're truly saved this evening, then the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, and for that reason, you have a responsibility to forgive others no matter what they have done to you. So this evening, we're going to see from God's word that forgiveness is an absolute necessity in the lives of Christians. And listen, without a willingness to forgive others, it is impossible for any Christian to be right with God. And we're going to prove that from the word of God. So in a passage of scripture, we see in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, we see Peter coming to Jesus inquiring about the subject of forgiveness. And there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that the lesson that the Lord gave to Peter on forgiveness is a lesson that all of us need to learn tonight. So I'm going to give you 3 points from this passage of Scripture on the subject of forgiveness. Number one, There must be humility before there can be real forgiveness. The first thing we need to examine is what the Bible says about humility. The world looks at humility as weakness. They look at it as a mark of weakness. Someone who's humble, they see as being weak. We know from God's word that humility is the opposite of pride. According to the Bible, one aspect of pride is when a Christian is only focused on themselves and their own feelings. But when a person is walking in humility, the Bible actually teaches that they will be more focused on the feelings and well-beings of others than on themselves. Isn't that interesting? A good reference that points this out very clearly, and you can jot this down. I'm going to just read these references for the sake of time. But Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says this. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory," notice this, "but in lowliness of mind," that's humility, "let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So we see that principle there. Now moving on to our passage of Scripture, the Bible says in Matthew 18:21, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times?'" Now look, the interesting thing about this conversation between Peter and Jesus Christ is that as a Jewish man, Peter was very familiar with the tradition amongst the Jews that a person should never be forgiven more than three times. Three times was the limit according to Jewish law and the teaching of the rabbis. But even though Peter was a Jewish man, he was also a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realized that there was something not right about that Jewish tradition. And I believe that when Peter went to Jesus inquiring about forgiveness, in our text as we read, it revealed humility on his part because it showed that he was not pridefully cleaving to the traditions of his Jewish fathers. In a real sense, he was esteeming the opinion of Christ as of more value than his own on the subject of forgiveness, which, as we have just read in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, is one of the main evidences of humility. Then in Luke 17, 3, and 4, which is another text dealing with the matter of forgiveness, Jesus makes clear his thoughts about only forgiving an erring brother three times like the Jews taught. When he just told the disciples this, he said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he shall trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, 'I repent,' thou shalt forgive him." So we see from that text that Jesus mentioned the number seven in regards to forgiving a brother who trespassed against another, which is ironically the same number that Peter mentioned when questioning Jesus. But now we're going to see that Peter was still ignorant about some things relating to forgiveness, and listen, and that the Lord wanted to make it clear to Peter that the real issue relating to forgiveness is not about the amount of times that someone needs to forgive another, like three or even seven times, but something far more important. So number two, there is no set limit when it comes to Christians forgiving others. I want you to notice how Jesus responded to Peter's questions about forgiveness. Remember that Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18:21, if you're there, if seven times would be sufficient for him to forgive a brother who sinned against him. So we read in Matthew 18:22, "Jesus saith unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.'" So let's do a little math, amen? 70 times 7 is 490. That sounds like a lot of times to forgive someone, amen? But is the Lord saying to Peter there that once he hits that 490 mark of forgiving someone, he can then call it quits? Is that what he's saying? No. The point that Jesus is emphasizing to Peter is not that there's something special about the number 490 here. He is pointing out to Peter that there is really no limit to the amount of times that a Christian should forgive someone who sinned against them. So that means if a brother or sister in Christ commits a certain sin against you, they come to you and confess, you forgive them, but then it happens all over again numerous times, and each time they come to you and confess, then guess what? Based on what Jesus told Peter, you have a responsibility to forgive them every time they come to you seeking forgiveness. Now you might be thinking, but their confession is not sincere because they keep on sinning against me. And you know what? You might be right. But the point is, in all of his teachings on forgiveness, Jesus never said anything about only forgiving people if you can sense that they are sincere in their confession. So if someone comes to you and they confess that they did something to offend you, we're not to sit back and just say, well, let me just see if you're really sincere or not. You know, come back in a week or so. No, he doesn't give us that liberty to do that. Now, look, we might be sitting here tonight thinking that this is just crazy. It's unrealistic and flat out impossible. And you know what? As far as our human nature is concerned, you're right. It is crazy, unrealistic, and flat out impossible to think that we can adhere to such a level of forgiving others in our flesh. But thank God that the Bible tells every Christian in Matthew 19:26 that with God, all things are possible. Amen. You see, the Lord never intended for us to try to accomplish this without him. Just like anything in a Christian life, we're not to try to accomplish anything in our Christian life without the Lord and his aid and his strength. So therefore, our problem as Christians who have the Spirit of God indwelling us, it's not that we cannot forgive certain people, as we like to tell ourselves. We say, I could just never do it. Our problem is that many times we're so full of pride that we find it extremely difficult to humble ourselves and forgive someone for what they supposedly said or did to offend us. And I say supposedly because you know what? There's times when we are just many times imagining things that someone else said about us that are not even true. We heard it through the grapevine or something and we just run wild with it. We let it get us all messed up. And many times it just never even happened. But again, you know, the point is that you and I, we cannot tell ourselves that we cannot forgive certain people because the Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that every Christian has the right to claim, as Paul did, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That includes forgiving others if we really want to. And I'm here to tell you that, look, you can do it through Christ no matter how great the offense. We went through some things in Honduras, something very difficult where I just thought I could never forgive this brother, something that doesn't need to be gotten into or anything like that. But until I had a brother come to my home and just basically in tears, pled with me to forgive him, and God had been working on my heart before he even came to my home. And you know what? There's nothing special about me because I forgave him. It was the grace of God that allowed me to forgive that brother, amen? And God will do that, and God will enable us to be able to do that. So what does all this mean? It means that you and I have absolutely no excuse whatsoever for not forgiving others. The truth is that the Holy Spirit of God living in you is trying to teach you to forgive others if you're truly saved. The Bible says in Titus 2:11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. And then it continues with everything that the grace of God is trying to teach the Christian in their daily life. Forgiving others would be a part of that, I believe. Therefore, if you and I, for whatever reason, are not willing to forgive certain people, then look, that is our fault and no one else's. Our unwillingness to forgive them is not their fault. Regardless of the offense, it is our fault. So I want to talk to you quickly about some important things relating to the process of how forgiveness is actually carried out. All of us need to understand that we cannot verbally forgive someone audibly who has hurt or offended us until that person asks to be forgiven. Notice that I said verbally forgive someone audibly because we can never altogether completely excuse ourselves from not forgiving people in our heart. Now, if that sounds kind of confusing to you, let me explain what I'm talking about by using my wife and myself as an example. Let's just say that I said some things to my wife that upset her very much. Now, in the course of 12 years, this is just all hypothetical, 12 years of marriage has never happened, amen. Might have happened to you, but it's never happened to us, amen. But if my wife comes to me in the spirit telling me how upset she is about something that I said, then that is a whole lot different than her coming to me in the flesh and telling me about what I said that upset her so much. You see, I've always believed that how or the manner in which we speak to people is just, if not more important than what we actually say to people. You understand what I mean by saying that? You can say something two different ways. If you approach someone in the flesh, it's going to tend to destroy. But if you walk in the spirit, walking in the spirit to them, saying the same thing, it's going to have an edifying effect. It's going to help them, amen? If we confront people walking in the Spirit, it makes a world of difference. But as far as forgiveness is concerned, my wife should not come to me and tell me that she has forgiven me if I have not seen my fault and asked for her forgiveness. You see, after she tells me my fault, if she comes to me, she needs to let the Spirit of God work on my heart because ultimately he, the Spirit of God, is the only one who can convince me how wrong that I was, and then I need to ask for her forgiveness. But once the Holy Spirit convinces me of my sin and then leads me to ask for her forgiveness, my wife then has the responsibility before God to forgive me. But again, how she approaches me to tell me what I did wrong is really the key as to how this process plays out. Look, many times my wife doesn't even have to come to me and tell me what I did wrong, because the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sin and then makes it clear to me that I need to ask for her forgiveness. So that happens many times. So listen, if someone hurts or offends you in some way, then you need to forgive them in your heart as quickly as possible. And you know what? If you're walking with God, it won't be as difficult as if you're not walking with God. But I don't believe that it is very wise to verbally tell someone that you have forgiven them until you have first talked privately with them about the problem, and then they ask for your forgiveness. If I just go to my wife one day and I say, you know what, the other day you are horrible to me, and you know what, I just want to let you know I'm going to forgive you about that. It's not going to have a good effect, because she might not even know what I'm talking about, amen? But if I talk privately about it first, it's going to have a different effect, rather than me just going to her and just saying, you know what, I forgive you, and she doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Let me also emphasize this. Talking to people about why you were offended is very important, because there are times, listen, when people are completely ignorant about what they said or did that offended someone else. Sometimes there's people, and I've encountered people in ministry, and people have many times odd senses of humor, amen? And sometimes people don't realize sometimes with their type of sense of humor that they have that sometimes it can be very offensive, amen? And sometimes it doesn't mean that they're trying to offend people. It's just their sense of humor. But sometimes, you know, you might have to go to someone like that and talk to them privately and explain to them. And you know what happens many times? You approach a person like that, they'll say, I'm sorry, brother. I didn't even realize that I did that. Amen? And I've seen that before. But also want you to understand that this matter of forgiveness is not just about you getting right with your brother and sister in Christ, as important as that is, or with your spouse, children, or anyone else. It's also about you getting right with God. You see, whether you believe it or not, you cannot be right with God if you're not willing to forgive others. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, if you look at verses 9 to 15, we see Jesus Christ teaching his disciples some important guidelines and principles relating to prayer. This passage of Scripture we know is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Now, the interesting thing about the Lord's Prayer is that in 3 of the 7 verses relating to prayer, the focus is on the necessity of Christians forgiving others. So you're saying, wait a minute, brother, you're telling me that my willingness or unwillingness to forgive is connected to my prayer life? Yeah, you better believe it. Amen. It's very clear here. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:12 that a willingness to forgive others must be a part of us asking God to forgive us, when it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:14-15. He said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Notice this. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So listen, those verses are extremely important. The point that Jesus was emphasizing to his disciples and to us is that if we are not willing to forgive others for the wrong that they have done to us, then we can forget about God forgiving us of the wrong that we have done to him. A Puritan preacher, Thomas Watson, said this regards to those verses. He said, our forgiving others is not a cause of God's forgiving us, but it is a condition without which he will not forgive us. So if you're here this evening, and I don't know the hearts of everyone here this night, it seems like a very loving church and a very connected church, one with another. But, you know, I know from experience in the past, sometimes people can come to the house of God and everything can appear right on the outward, and it could be all kinds of turmoil on the inward, amen? So if you're here this evening with hatred, anger, or an unforgiving spirit in your heart towards certain brethren because of something that happened between you, maybe in the past or even in the present recently, I want you to understand tonight that you are not right with God, and you won't be right with God until you're willing to do what is necessary to make things right with your brethren. Listen, we can meditate on the Word of God day and night. You can spend 2 hours a day in prayer. You can tithe and faithfully give to missions and have 4 ministries in your local church. You can come to the house of God every week and give testimony of how good God has been to you. But if you are not willing to forgive others for how they have wronged you, then you are not and cannot be right with God. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:14 that one of the clearest evidences that we are truly saved is that we will have love for our brethren. And not just those who we want to love, but for all the brethren. Amen. Therefore, an unwillingness to forgive our brethren, stay with me, reveals an absence of the spirit of love that we are commanded to have for them, which then even puts our salvation in question, because the end of that verse reads this: he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We don't need a commentary to interpret that, amen? The Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon said regarding this, he said, "You are nothing better than deceitful hypocrites if you harbor in your minds a single unforgiving thought. There are some sins which may be in the heart, and yet you may be saved, but you cannot be saved," he said, "unless you are forgiving. If we do not choose to forgive, we choose to be damned." That's what he said. Furthermore, the Lord tells us in 1 John 3:16, that great chapter on love, that because of that love of God abiding in saved people, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Think about that. The question is, how are you going to lay down your life for your brother and sister in Christ if you cannot even bring yourself to forgive them? Amen? So you see that this matter of not forgiving others is much more serious than you and your brother and sister in Christ just deciding to go your separate ways. Your standing in fellowship with God is directly tied with this. I've heard stories that just amazed me in the past where churches, they didn't want to deal with situations of turmoil between brethren in the church, unforgiveness there, so they would take one family and move them out of the church and say, oh, they're going to try to start a church somewhere else. And the other family remained in the church. So this family is starting a church somewhere else. This family stays in the church. Meanwhile, they have all this bitterness, division in their hearts, just miles separating them. Amen. And you know, we can fool ourselves and we can fool one another, but we're not fooling God with that kind of activity. Amen. Number three, the truth that motivates us to forgive others. The biblical truth that ought to motivate every Christian here to forgive others is the fact that God the Father has forgiven us of all of our sins through the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're saved tonight. The Bible says in Micah 7:18-19, "Who is God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast our sins into the depths of the sea." Think about that. God has cast all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea, figuratively speaking, never to be remembered again. We're not going to have to answer for our past sins because of what Christ did for us. And I don't think that we should ever forget where we were when the Lord saved us. Amen. Don't ever forget where you were that day when the Lord found you and drew you to his Son. We Christians ought never to let a day pass in our lives without lifting our voices to the Lord in gratitude for his abundant mercy and grace upon our lives and saving us. Amen. Because look, if God would have given us what we all deserve, and I think we understand this tonight, then every single one of us, whether we're teenagers or adults, we'll already be in hell suffering for our sins. And that's just reality. But thank God that the Bible says in Psalm 103:10-12, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us." Notice that three times. Our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions. Amen. Not his, ours. But he took them upon himself on that cross. And no one here that is saved needs to be told that Christians are not perfect people. We all already know from the example of our own lives, as your pastor preached on this morning about the problem of being consistent in our day-to-day Christian lives, and even from witnessing the lives of other Christians, we understand that Christians are not perfect or sinless people. We understand that. But as people who profess to be saved, we ought to be spiritually maturing and not continuing in sinful habits. Amen? And if you really want to know how spiritually mature you are, then just ask your spouse or your children. Amen? That's a clear indicator, if there ever was, about where we really are spiritually, amen? The people who see us day in and day out, who know our faults, who know our strengths like no one else does. But even though we all sin every day, we should never get to the point where we act like sin is not a big deal. Because the truth is that every time you and I sin against the Lord, not only do we dishonor him and grieve the Spirit of God who indwells us, but we break our fellowship with God. And 1 John 1:9 tells us how we come back into that fellowship of God. And of course, confession of sin needs to be joined with repentance of sin, as we see in Proverbs 28:13, when it says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So because God is forgiving every Christian of so much, the Bible says that we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ in forgiving others. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him," which is essentially what every professing Christian is doing, saying that they abide in Christ, "ought himself so to walk even as he walked." So if one of the greatest characteristics about God is his willingness to forgive, then there's something seriously wrong with his professing children who are not willing to forgive others. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:31-32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's the reason. Then we read in Colossians 3:12-13, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind," we see that again, "meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Let me ask you tonight, in the area of forgiving others, where is your heart this evening? Are there people in the church here or in other churches, sister churches maybe, that you have told yourself that you just cannot forgive and that it's best you just avoid them and go your separate ways? What about lost family members, friends, or coworkers that you, as a professing Christian, have determined you just will not forgive and you've made that decision in your life? Our text deals specifically with a matter of forgiveness in the context of our brethren, amen? Look, when you study the Bible in its entirety, you see that our testimony without toward the lost is just as important as our testimony within toward our brethren. The point being that you as a believer cannot excuse your unforgiving attitude and spirit toward lost family members, friends, coworkers, etc. Neither can I. Christians have a responsibility before God to do all that they can by God's grace to fix situations that have hurt their testimony before the lost and dishonored the Lord. I believe that. You know, we have this amazing invention today where miles and miles of separation is no excuse anymore, amen? We can pick this thing up and we can go to work, amen, and try to fix wrongs that we've done in the past. Once we do what we can to fix a relationship by forgiving or seeking forgiveness from another, then we are clear in the eyes of the Lord. Understand this. And if that person refuses to listen to us, which may happen many times, I'll just say, you know what? I don't want to hear it. Then at that point, it strictly becomes a matter between them and God because we've done our part. Amen? And if they refuse to have any part of that process of forgiveness, then at that point, it's between them and the Lord. Let me be honest with you about something. The Lord knows I have my faults, and we all do. But honestly, I don't understand. I don't know that I ever will. This mindset that so many Christians have today of refusing to get things right with their brethren and others and then just going on in their Christian lives acting like they are right with God. That mentality just does not line up with the Word of God and what we've seen tonight. We just can't support that with Scripture. I want to conclude this message tonight by talking about very quickly what I personally believe to be the most amazing and wonderful thing about real forgiveness. And look, it is this which ultimately proves to God whether our forgiving others is sincere or not. You see, when you bring yourself to sincerely forgive someone or something, someone of something, you're basically making a covenant with God that by his grace, you are going to forget about what they did to you. And as wonderful of an act as that is, you know what? I also believe that it is the main part of forgiveness that people struggle with, the forgetting part. Many times, Christians, we like to tell others that we have forgiven them about certain things, but then we bring up those things every time we have the opportunity in order to remind the person of what they did. And you know what? That's forgiveness according to the world's standard, but not according to God's standard. Because the Bible is very clear, listen, that when God forgives, he forgets. The Lord said in Jeremiah 31:34, "I will forgive their iniquity." And as wonderful it would be if it stopped there, it continues. And he says, "And I will remember their sin no more." Understand that when you forgive someone and then forget about the offense, I'm not saying that it will be completely erased from your memory. You know why? Because more than likely, Satan will bring it to your attention from time to time in order to tempt you to get upset about it. He'll do that. But you forgetting about it means that you have purposed in your heart, by God's grace, to move on and not hold it against that person any longer. So as far as Christians are concerned, that is the context of what is meant by forgiving and forgetting. We are leaving the offense in the past, and we are moving on with our brethren and with God. It is basically adopting the mindset that Paul had in living his Christian life when he describes his mentality in Philippians 3:13 by saying this. He said, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind in the past and reaching forth unto those things which are before." We know from Scripture that Paul did not have the bad days of his life completely erased from his memory. Do you think he forgot about all those times that where he was instrumental in Christians being murdered? I don't think he ever forgot about that. There's no evidence in Scripture that that was completely erased from his memory. But he was determined by God's grace to not let the devil use his past against him from going forward with the Lord. So in regards to everything that I preached on tonight about forgiveness, look, it all boils down to this. You and I have a great responsibility to forgive others, and for that reason, it becomes a great necessity in our lives. We've seen from God's word that our relationship to other Christians in and outside of our local church depends on our willingness to forgive and forget. And we must never forget that we can never be right with God. And this is something we need to understand tonight. We can never be right with God if we are not willing to seek forgiveness from those whom we have offended or sinned against once we are made aware of our transgression, or if we are not willing to forgive those who come to us seeking to be forgiven. It's a two-way street there. Because the Bible says in Luke 6:37, it says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight with this subject of forgiveness, Lord. It's something that we're all either dealing with it now, or we'll deal with it in the near future in our Christian lives. And Lord, sometimes the devil can convince us, Lord, to leave things in the past that you want us to do what we can by your grace to make right in the present. So Father, help us tonight. If you've spoken to us about any situations in the past, any past relationships with brethren that we've just refused to get right, or maybe even lost family members, coworkers, where we've heard our testimony, maybe we need to get in contact with people from the past and apologize for hurting our testimony and hurting the name and cause of Christ before them. Father, help us to be willing to do what's necessary, Lord, not only to accurately represent you in the presence of others, but also, Lord, come into a greater fellowship with you ourselves. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.